Thank you for listening to this podcast by OneWebStrategy.com. This podcast and other blogs can be found at OneWebStrategy.com, Podomatic.com, and there's videos on the OneWeb Strategy channel on YouTube. Today is sort of a rebroadcast, a reblog, if you will, of something by the Robbins Mandan's training. This is a firm and collaboration of Tony Robbins and Chloe Mandan's. It's a wonderful organization. They have lots of free videos and free training out there for couples, for young adults, older adults, ways about challenging, changing, using emotions in a positive way to positively change behavior for the better, especially for relationships. They talk a lot about, give you empowering strategies and ideas to help others, to help you in your own relationships, and to help you attack your own habits. This is, can be found on robbinsmandanscoaching.com or on my blog under the title Stop That Argument in Its Tracks. Stop That Argument in Its Tracks. Have you ever been in an argument when someone shouts and you realize, wow, this might be the end of our relationship? It could be a tough conversation with a friend about hurt feelings. It could end the friendship and make you enemies. It might be a business negotiation where instead of becoming partners, you become competitors. It could be a conversation with your spouse or mate that could lead to a decision that you regret forever. These are dangerous minutes, right? One simple thing can ruin it all. Conversations like this are called high-stake conversations. If you win, you win it all. If you lose it all. Stakes are high. So, how do you turn it around? Let's explore one simple strategy called the outcome strategy. You see, the problem with high-stakes conversations is that two speakers tend to get stuck in an emotional opposition to each other. In other words, the more you take your position, the more I disagree with you and take the opposite position, and vice versa. When you get opposed to each other like this, you start reacting to me, and the emotional dynamics of our conversation rather than the outcome you want or the point you're trying to make. You start reacting rather than the logic. So instead of being proactive and thinking creatively about what's best for everyone, the conversation plays out as if only one of you can win this game. Now that's what's wrong with getting, and that's what gets you stuck in an opposition. And this, any two people having a high-stakes conversation are likely to have a lot in common, a relationship, a history, a shared objective. When they get stuck in an opposition, they stop reacting to what's good. They only react to what they see as bad, the other person's disagreements, the opposition, the disrespect, or the perceived disrespect. That's what's so dangerous. You're likely to throw out the bath with the you're likely to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Excuse me. The outcome strategy is there to stop that pattern. It's there to stop and see past the opposition, align with each other, and find creative solutions to the outcomes. This outcome strategy has three basic parts. Ask to understand, ask how it's supposed to happen, and offer help. Raise the common intent. Ask to understand. Simply tell the person, I really want to understand you, your experience, and what you want. Please tell me what is most important to you right now. In other words, you're asking to understand their outcome or the desired outcome. Most conflicts are triggered by a specific emotion when the other person doesn't feel you will look after their interests. When you become a great listener, this changes fast. The thing they're upset about could be a policy decision. It could be that they want to feel respected. It could be It could mean they are sick of deadlines not being met. At bottom, what is upsetting them is the feeling that you are not willing to help them. Listen, listen, listen. Align with them so that you are helping them get what they need. Number two, ask how it's supposed to happen and offer help. Sounds pretty common sense, right? When we rally for something, when we push for something to happen, we usually have a vision, an expectation, an idea, a preconception, a bias on how it should happen or will happen. You need to understand the other person's vision in very concrete terms. So just say, what's important to you is important to me, and I want you and us to have this outcome. How are you thinking it's going to take place? What has to happen? What do you need? What's the sequence of stages or steps that we need to take? Be careful. Don't ask this in a challenging way. Instead, think of yourself as rolling up your sleeves, going side by side with the other person and saying, okay, where do we start? Where do we start together? If you can, take notes and get the sequence of action steps to get the outcome. Remember, this is a high-stakes conversation. The upset was caused by the feeling you're not looking after your friend. So counter that by committing now to some steps and turn that around. Write your commitments down on paper. This sends a strong signal that you're cooperating and that the argument is over. Once the person understands that you are on their side, and that will help you help them, and you will have an opportunity to offer solutions that get you the outcome more quickly. Number three, raise the common intent. Now, once the person feels you understand their outcome and how they want to get it, once they feel you are no longer opposed to them, raise the intent. Here's how this works. When you get into high-stakes arguments, it usually devolves to you versus me. Now, there's a restricted kind of survival mode that kicks in when we get into a personal conflict. Now that you've aligned with the other person, after this point, you've shared a broader intention of helping you, helping me, of helping those around us, and helping in the long term. When you raise the common intent and widening the circle of people who get benefits, you have the opportunity also to introduce action steps that may help more people or bring the outcome on more quickly and effectively. Does it sound simple? The outcome strategy sounds simple because it makes a lot more sense intellectually. It actually is a fundamental skill of problem solving that is useful in just about every high-stakes conversation you'll encounter. So let's take a real-world example. The day is September 11th, 2001, the day of the terrorist attacks in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania. Tony Robbins has been giving a workshop in Hawaii for 2,000 people from over 30 countries. 50 people have just lost friends, family, or businesses in the World Trade Center attacks. The group was incredibly upset, and there had been outbreaks of arguments and fights. Tony stepped on stage and was guiding the group through a process of emotional mastery to deal with the fact of the event when a young Pakistani man stood up to exclaim that he felt sympathy with the terrorists. So there you have it, a high-stakes conversation. One man with a minority point of view in the group speaking in a highly charged, emotional, raw way about something that has upset everyone while others in the room were having to be restrained from attacking him. How does Tony Robbins deal with this intelligently? The outcome conversation. There's a video clip on my website, onewebstrategy.com. It's only about 15 minutes long, but it's dynamic. This is how it basically went. Tony asked Assad, the Pakistani man, to share how he feels and why, so that Tony can grasp a point of view. Understanding Assad is Tony's point of, in mastering the situation. He listens non-judgmentally, which you should. He thanks Assad for explaining himself and acknowledges his point of view completely. He says over and over, I haven't had your experience, so I have zero judgment. This is just my opinion. If you want to tell me I'm full of it, I'm totally okay with that because I'm not you. This tells Assad that he's justified in his emotions and that he has been heard and understood. Tony asks Assad, how do you expect that this will happen? In this case, how is the terrorist attack supposed to further the Muslim cause? At this point, the conversation has shifted. Assad realized that his point or his position doesn't make sense. The emotion starts to subside. His position that the violence would not lead to the West to help the West to understand. It would just lead to more violence in the cycle. Assad begins to understand this. Tony gives Assad a non-judgmental space to figure this out himself. Once Assad realizes that it doesn't make sense, he's open to help. So all of a sudden, the emotional head-to-head opposition has been diffused. Tony raises Assad's intent. Assad is thinking big. He's thinking about the Muslim cause and the plight of the Iraqis torn by war. So Tony meets him there and raises his intent even higher. How can we impact the people Assad loves in the most effective way? By condoning violence or by making violence unacceptable? When Assad accepts this higher intent, he also accepts the responsibilities of being a leader, of seeing how his behavior will impact hundreds or thousands. As a result, the conversation that could have been dangerous or disappointing ended up bringing everyone in the room to a higher level of intent, understanding, compassion, and intelligent action. Assad clarified his outcome and achieved it on that day, and as a result, he became a crusader for tolerance and greater understanding. After this conversation, Tony invited Assad on stage, along with Bernie, a Jewish man from New York who had stood up to challenge Assad that day. Tony guided the two men through a process of indirect negotiation. By the end of the evening, the two men had each other and had embraced. They had each had breakthroughs, and they started an organization for religious tolerance together. Today, Assad continues to work as a crusader for peace. Also on my website, there's a TED conference, TED conference, where Assad speaks. We've all been this some kind of emotional thing. We even get lost what we first met. There's even been family fights and business fights and partner fights that even last for years, and sometimes each party doesn't remember how it first went. We can do so much together. We can do so much if we can control our emotions and use the emotions in the right way. If we use some simple strategies, more than anything, these are some of the reasons why I do onewebstrategy.com. To share ideas and strategies how to use your emotions, how to take specific steps and actions to better yourself and others. Feel free to pass this along to others. God bless you and thank you.